Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
Hey, and welcome to North Florida neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and hearing what really cool stuff they're doing with us and for us in our community. And today, the neighbor we get to chat with is Houston Pullen, the director for the Small Business Development Center. Houston, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Colby. I'm excited to be here.
We've been able to kind of catch up with SBDC really the past year with PPPs going out and y'all just having an increase of need from the community for y'all. But first, before we talk about just the new transition that's been happening with SBDC, can you give me a rundown on who y'all are and what you do?
Yeah, so the Small Business Development Center program, or SBDC as we like to call ourselves, we are a program that's designed to support small business owners in addition to helping entrepreneurs get started and grow their businesses. And really, we're focused on making sure that small businesses know that they're not alone in this endeavor. And we provide free consulting services that are, you know, we're funded through the U.S. Small Business Administration through a federal grant program in partnership with the university. And we're really here to be a support mechanism for the community for all matters of small business development, economic development, and innovation and research opportunities as well. So really, we provide training and consulting services that, you know, generally are free or with a small cost for some of those training programs.
SBDC is all about serving the small businesses, helping them grow, helping them succeed. And you kind of mentioned that you do it through training services, but can you be more specific of what these business owners can expect when they come to y'all?
Yeah, absolutely. So if a small business is looking for services, or maybe they need some help understanding marketing, understanding how to utilize social media, how to understand, you know, the finance aspect of business, they're looking to go get a loan, they're looking for, you know, how do I put together financials, how do I put together a business plan, what we do is we will do an intake process where we'll sit down and we'll ask the questions, what is it that you're looking for, and really target in and cater to what specifically the small business needs by actually asking them and identifying the need. The great thing about our organization is we have a phenomenal team that is so multidisciplinary in the business field that they know what they're talking about. We have some of the, I'm just going to brag a moment.
Yes.
We have some of the finest consultants in the entire SBDC network for Florida and beyond. I mean, I'm so impressed with the level of professionalism and just knowledge that is here. And really, I think that really is a testament to why we have so many small businesses that come see us and why our doors are always open for more, because we have the best of the best and they're here to really be a support mechanism for all of the small business owners and entrepreneurs looking to start or grow their businesses.
Houston, I really appreciate how you laid the foundation of professionalism for your team, because we hear a service that's free and we hear that it's local and we think, okay, this is super rinky-dink and it's not worth my time. It's not worth my business's effort. But you just straight up said, no, the team y'all have and the work that you produce is top of the line.
Oh, 100%. And I think anybody who comes in is going to find that they will be welcomed with open arms and, you know, being support, you know, just being able to provide and impart knowledge. I will speak, you know, as a previous SBDC consultant quite some years ago, we have been, I mean, it really is a great resource for small businesses. And we also provide some other aspects of, you know, support, where we also have a program called the Procurement Technical Assistance Center, or PTAC program, that actually works with small businesses interested in going after federal, state, and local government contracts and looking at being a part of those kinds of things. And that's also a free consulting service that we provide. So we really have a wide range of tools and options for small businesses in what they need.
And I really appreciate that when we started talking about this, you sit down with the company and you say, what is it you're looking for? It's not a blanket one sheet of, hey, this is what we offer. But you ask,
right,
how can we fit your needs? Because I think sometimes so many businesses aren't apt to this kind of service because they're like, oh, my business is so different. They've never dealt with something like this. And you're saying, no, we want that.
Right, exactly. And I think the other aspect here to bring in is, you know, we're housed with the university and we also have the resources of the university that we can bring to the table. So it's not just the federal programs that we can bring, but we also have access to, you know, so much knowledge and so many resources here, especially from a market research aspect. And, you know, for those businesses that are looking to start or grow, you know, market research is so important. We have the ability to be able to help guide people specifically for what they need. And that's so important in going into business and really having somebody there who can, you know, provide those resources and guide you. I mean, there's nothing better, especially for business owners and entrepreneurs. I think they can all attest that they sometimes really need that kind of guidance.
And just to clarify, you guys are with the University of North Florida, not university locally.
Yes.
So what resources can we expect with a partnership that y'all have tied to UNF?
Yeah, so we have access to resources such as the library offers some resources in terms of market research databases like IBIS World, which are industry reports that, let's say, somebody comes in and they're looking to do a business revolving around a bakery. Right, they want to open a bakery or they own a bakery and they're looking to expand, they're looking to find ways to attract new customers or even just enter the market. These kinds of reports are invaluable and they have such great information that we can then take and help dissect and put into a business plan or a marketing strategy or anything like that that will support a small business. And what's fantastic is these reports are generally very expensive and sometimes, you know, you don't really know what, you know, where to go, and some people will spend, you know, hours and hours and money and time to actually go and look for those kinds of things. The beautiful thing about the resources we have here at the university is we have access to them. And generally, you know, we're able to leverage those when we're working with small businesses. And I have seen that play out with the consultants here in the University of North Florida with the SBDC program. And it's so important. And one of the great things is the College of Business, Coggin College of Business, and the university support our program 100%. And it is just so incredible to have that kind of support because it empowers us to be able to bring the whole, you know, platter of services that we have to the table for the community.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, so many of these services, yeah, you can go elsewhere for them, but they are going to cost so much money. And you guys have so many of them. But what about companies where not even companies, but nonprofits that are trying to start up. Do you guys also help with that?
I'm so glad you said that because we certainly do. And, you know, you have those for-profit companies and whatnot, but we also support nonprofit companies as well. And we have some phenomenal specialists here that actually have experience with helping nonprofits set up boards, set up bylaws, going through that whole process of obtaining nonprofit status and really helping to refine the missions of, you know, those nonprofits, to really flesh it out and help organizations really see what are they really trying to do and how, you know, sometimes people come in, whether it's a business owner or a nonprofit, they come in with an idea and it's our job to help find a path to get there. And it may not be the path that small business owners or nonprofit seekers are looking for, but it is the right, we want to set them on the right path to get there. And we want to be realistic in expectations. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that they understand, you know, these are some of the things that they should do and that we can help guide them through that. So it really, that's one of the best aspects of this. And I'll tell you, as a former consultant myself, I've had businesses who've come in and who have laid out some phenomenal ideas, but they're missing certain pieces sometimes. And really, it's our job to be that support mechanism that helps them go, you know, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? And we help guide them and we help get them to that point. And it's so one of the best feelings and one of the best aspects of this job for this team. And you know, they live by this is watching a business open its doors, hiring new people, watching a existing business be able to continue to expand and grow, opening a second location, all of those things are incredible. And that's what this program is all about, is helping to create opportunities for small businesses and entrepreneurs to succeed.
And Houston, since you brought it up, do you have like an all-time favorite success story of someone you've walked alongside, not just as regional director now, but maybe even as a consultant, and you're just glowing and so excited for them?
Yes. Actually, back when I was a consultant, this was back in Nevada, Las Vegas area, I actually had two doctors who came to me about opening up their own pediatric practice. And they came to me with an idea, and they came to me with some things that they thought they needed and that they had. And I'll tell you, when I sat down with them and we really started getting into the weeds of everything and, you know, trying to help them pivot and understand how to actually make their whole vision a reality, it was incredible. And, you know, they've been able to obtain a loan. They got a space and, you know, helped them to understand how they can best utilize the space, you know, because they were a startup and it was such a large space, how we could maybe create some new revenue opportunities where we had other doctors' practices or health practices come in and sublet the space. So that way they were able to grow and expand organically. They were able to hire and grow and build their patient base. And it was just amazing. And I'll never forget, even after I left Nevada, I got a card from them saying, "We were able to pay off our loan. We're doing great. And thank you so much for all of your help." And I, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I'm like, that is so worth it. And that is the kind of success that our program offers to entrepreneurs and small business owners from all walks of life, all industries, in trying to work with them to get to that point.
Yeah, and that success is so attainable. And again, I have the privilege of chatting with Houston Pullen, the Regional Director for Small Business Development Center. And Houston, thank you for sharing that incredible story with that company in Las Vegas. And now I kind of want to switch gears because we are different than Vegas. And I wanted to know what have you learned about the small businesses that are here locally?
No, and I really appreciate that. Coming in as the new director here for the Northeast region of Florida, I have to say, what a phenomenal community of small business owners and just overall economic opportunity. I think that one of the great things is there's such a diverse background of different industry, people from different walks of life and socioeconomic backgrounds that are succeeding. And really, I think that's such a fantastic piece to this whole puzzle with regards to how we can support the community here. And I think that, you know, just based on my observation of being here for the past 6 weeks, I really think that we have tremendous opportunity, especially given the fact that, you know, the country has gone through one of the most challenging, and I think I'm putting that mildly, economic issues. I mean, overall, not just economic, but health crises that we've ever faced. And the resiliency of the small businesses that are here is just overwhelmingly incredible. And, you know, I think, and again, I'm going to toot the horn of this team here. They have been such an incredible support mechanism for the community. The SBDC team here in the Northeast region, housed in Jacksonville and the outlying areas at the University of North Florida, they have been fantastic in helping with bridge loans, disaster loans, PPP loans, and, you know, being there to really talk through all matters of crises. I mean, they worked almost 24/7 during the pandemic, and they're still working to support small businesses. And we will be here. We were here before, we were here during, and we're going to be here after. And we're really looking forward to continuing to support those small businesses, you know, as we continue to see things reopening and grow and going back to, you know, some kind of normal status. And, you know, while that may change for many people, we also recognize that there's going to be needs and there's going to be new needs that need to be fulfilled. And those folks out there, those smart entrepreneurs and people with those ideas, we're able to help them. We're able to help talk to them and work through those things. So I think that's going to be just a tremendous opportunity. And really, it's a testament to this region and to Jacksonville and the outlying areas. I really think that we have a tremendous, tremendous opportunity here.
I think you totally hit the nail on the head when you use the word resilience in these local companies. And just as they've had to grow and be resilient and just kind of figure out what this uncharted water looks like, what has the SBDC had to go through while they are on this uncharted water?
You know, I think that one of the great things about SBDCs is the ability to recognize where the needs are and finding solutions that will actually help. You know, I think the SBDC is no stranger to supporting small businesses in disaster situations. You know, when hurricanes hit, our SBDC team is ready to be there and support them. I will say, you know, the recession from 2008-2009, when I was in Las Vegas, the economy was hit so hard, but the SBDC was there to support small businesses, rebuild, grow, and really help to try and diversify the economy and become resilient. And this is the case across the nation. And right here in Jacksonville, we have this resource with the Small Business Development Center at UNF, and we're able to work across different spectrums and in different situations. And even though they may not be the same situation every time, there are best practices and skills that these folks on this team are trained to be able to handle and work with those small businesses so they can be prepared and they can have, you know, really what they need from us. And I think it's a testament to, you know, not just their abilities, but also to our stakeholders, to our funders that, you know, that provide the funding for our services. The city of Jacksonville is a great partner of ours. And we have so many different organizations that we're able to work with and really create opportunities with.
I think it helps these small businesses in knowing that they have such a strong backing from an organization that is just as devoted to being resilient as they're pressing these small businesses to be. And
absolutely.
And Houston, you mentioned that you've only been here for 6 weeks, and being in that, you're now the regional director. So what are you stepping into as that role now?
I'm going to say that my predecessor, Janice Donaldson, was here for 39 years, and she built an incredible team, and she built a program that has the respect of the community and the respect of the small businesses, to be frank. I mean, the people that we serve, our stakeholders and those that we serve, and that's certainly, you know, big shoes to fill, but she was so gracious in this entire transition process. As she was riding off into retirement, she was very, very excited about that, and she's, you know, doing great things there. But, you know, we spent about a month together and talking with her, learning from her, getting a great sense of where the organization has been. And then I bounced ideas off of her that I think, you know, it was fantastic to be able to say, you know, supporting the legacy that's been built, honoring it and enhancing it as we move forward. And that is truly what excites me about this, is we are no stranger to change. And you know, I'm looking at how we can continue to provide new and efficient ways of pivoting and adapting to different situations and really taking on different approaches. And I will say this team has been fantastic when it comes to, you know, proposed ideas. They are all in on wanting to help support those endeavors. So really, I have to really give a great debt of gratitude to Janice and the team here. I mean, they've been just so welcoming, and it's made it such a pleasure to come in here and really go, this is amazing. So I, you know, that's really the experience that I've had thus far with the SBDC.
So after being able to bounce these ideas off of Janice, do you have a list of top priorities that you want to hash out?
Yeah, so there are several things that are in the works that I think are really important to note. One of which is really trying to make sure that the minority communities and the impact socioeconomic communities here within our region understand that, you know, there's a resource for them. And really trying to target in and focus on supporting those communities while maintaining, you know, and growing the services that we have for all communities. I think that, you know, because of how hard pressed and impacted they've been, we want to make sure that they know that we're here to help them. And that's one big thing on my list to make sure of. And I have to say that a second one that we're really looking at, and this is really tied back to the College of Business and the university, is really focusing on innovation and how we can leverage resources from the university to produce, you know, student businesses, and really promoting, you know, entrepreneurship and driving home that, you know, we have so many great businesses here that are headquartered here, larger businesses, that we can find opportunities for small businesses to participate in this innovation space and grow. And that's really a big aspect that I think we're going to be able to provide here, especially with some really cool things in the works that will, you know, be coming out as time goes on. But I got to say, we also have a fantastic relationship with our Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation that our one and only Karen Bowling actually runs in downtown Jacksonville. I mean, what they're doing there is fantastic as well. I mean, just in terms of the support for, you know, startups and small businesses that they have, they're great partners of ours too. And I want to make sure that we're enhancing and really being great partners, not just to our internal university stakeholders, but to the external stakeholders as well. And that's a big goal of mine, is maintaining and growing the relationships that Janice has set the foundation for and has built and maintained and grown over these years. I want to continue that that opportunity as well.
And as somebody who really calls Jacksonville their home, it's so encouraging to hear how you're coming in just running out of the gate with fresh and new ideas to help innovate our community, because at the end of the day, like, this is our home, and by you helping back it is helping it be better for us.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you saying that, because it is something that I, you know, this community has been just so welcoming to me as I've, you know, transitioned in. And we're here, me and my family, we're here for the long haul. So we're excited to be able to provide, you know, this opportunity to just our community, and really giving back. We call this our community because it is.
And Houston, thank you so much for that. So again, can you give me a rundown on the programs that y'all offer, and then I'm going to ask how we can get in contact with these programs?
Certainly. So we have a variety of different programs. We have our consulting programs, where free, no-cost consulting, where small business owners can come in and get, you know, hours of consulting services that we can provide. We have a huge network of partners that we can turn to and, you know, really provide that opportunity to find expertise that a small business may need, or support that they may need. And that's really a big part of what we do, is that consulting side. Moving over to the training side, we have a phenomenal training team, marketing and training team here with our SBDC program. And they put on some fantastic webinars. And when we get back to the point where we can have in-person training, they offer some of the finest training programs I've seen for small businesses in just, you know, QuickBooks training, our, you know, marketing training, financial management training, all those different kinds of things that they're able to provide, startup training. And really, you know, at free to, you know, to minimal cost to be able to be a part of those, it really is fantastic to see that. And I think the other program here that I can really hit on is making sure to talk about what we offer with our partners. We have so many, like I said, great funding partners, St. John's County, Nassau County. There's so many counties that we are partnered with. The city of Jacksonville has been tremendous, and really we're able to go in and provide training services with them and consulting services for those who go and speak with them that need it, small business owners and entrepreneurs who are seeking for it. They've been great referral sources for us, and, you know, us to them. You know, we're able to have a symbiotic relationship that really enhances all of our abilities to work together. So I would say that those are probably the big things that, you know, we offer here with the SBDC.
Yeah, y'all cover so many areas, whatever need you guys meet it. So tell me one more time, Houston, where we can get in contact with y'all to find out more and just to ask for help.
Absolutely. So you can reach out to us at the University of North Florida. We have an office actually at University Center on the main campus of the University of North Florida. In addition, you can send us an email, or you can call into us. We have folks that are here that are able to provide, you know, support, and, you know, from emails to phone calls, you know, that's really a great way to be able to get a hold of us.
So great. Houston, thank you so much for being such a great neighbor in our neighborhood.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for your time, Colby. And I'm excited to be here.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at Jacksonville.radio.
Switch to T-Mobile for Business and get up to 90 days of service free via virtual rebate on your business plan. You get a great deal, the largest 5G network, and first-class benefits like Microsoft 365 on us. It's better for business and only with T-Mobile for Business. Limited time offer. Stop in-store for details. Plus taxes and fees for some plans. Virtual Express MasterCard within 8 weeks of receipt of valid submission. Complete port within 60 days. See T-Mobile.com for 5G devices, coverage, and plan details.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it'd be too difficult or take too much time? Then try Babbel. In just 15 minutes a day, Babbel teaches you conversations that you will actually use. With 14 languages and lesson topics like travel, business, relationships, and more, you'll learn what matters most to you. Babbel. Language for life. Learn a new language with ease. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com.
For a limited time, the Home Depot and Frigidaire have cooked up something truly amazing in the kitchen. Even lower prices on Frigidaire gallery wall ovens with air fry and cooktops, including easy-to-clean induction cooktops, plus free basic hookup and delivery. With prices like these, it's time to take those kitchen remodel plans off the back burner. Bring on spring with spring savings now on Frigidaire, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid through March 31st, U.S. only.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it'd be too difficult or take too much time? Then try Babbel. In just 15 minutes a day, Babbel teaches you conversations that you will actually use. With 14 languages and lesson topics like travel, business, relationships, and more, you'll learn what matters most to you. Babbel. Language for life. Learn a new language with ease. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com.
Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood.
And welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and hearing what really cool, fun, sweet things they're doing with us and for us in our community. And today, the neighbors we get to chat with are Gregory and April. They're both with the Duval Club Car Cancer Awareness. Thank y'all so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us here today.
Thank you very much.
Of course. And now, before we kind of kick everything off, Gregory, will you guys give me a rundown on what DCCCA is all about?
Okay, the reason and the history and the purpose of the DCCCA 23, the foundation was created to continue a long-lasting tribute to my loving and caring wife, Dorothy Dunning. She was a registered nurse. She lived her life deeply rooted in the faith of God. Matter of fact, her Bible was marked from Genesis to Revelation, and she always encouraged me to study the Bible. She serves others and never, ever turned away from helping anyone at any time or any animals, and encouraged. And I also continue that legacy when it comes to animals through No More Homeless Pet Program. August 2016, we received some terrible news that my wife was diagnosed with a rare stage 4 sinus cavity carcinoma. Even with that news, she continued to be a strong woman, doing a radiation, a chemotherapy, multiple appointments, and still attending church. She continued to help other people and also supported me during that time. May 19, 2017, God reached out his hands to welcome her to heaven, a beautiful angel. She left this earth at the age of 42. And the reason, and I had to just think about how can I continue the legacy. During my grieving stages, I just continue to ask God, how can I continue this mission? And finally, July 2019, with the help of some friends, the Duval Car Club Cancer Awareness was created, and it is a 501c nonprofit organization. This foundation is located and based in Jacksonville, Florida. The Duval Car Club Cancer Awareness, again, is DCCA23, and it will honor and continue Dorothy's legacy by helping other cancer patients, family, and animals.
I just want to first say my condolences for your wife. And I hear a lot of stories like this, but this one especially made me emotional. And I think it's because of how beautifully you spoke of her, and now you're continuing to speak of her. So how do you see her legacy living on with the DCCA?
I just see it as continuing, as she was a loving and caring person, to give back to the community. There was never anything that was ever said bad about it, always praises. So I just know that this is a way to give back in her legacy.
And now, April, you might be able to answer this, but how do you guys give back?
So when we first created the DCCA23, we had planned on offering services such as rides to appointments, running errands, like picking up groceries and medicine, providing company and people to be able to sit with people going through chemo treatments. I myself am also a cancer survivor. Mm,
congratulations.
Thank you. I had stage 3 colorectal cancer, and I know how important it was to have our church family around to help out. My husband was at all my treatments, but we were hoping to be able to provide that kind of service for people also going through treatments. But unfortunately, due to the COVID restrictions, we had to kind of rethink last year as we were just getting started and how best to kind of help the local families. So we kind of focused more on the toy drive for the children at several of the area children's hospitals, as well as monetary donations, and that because we the restrictions, we just weren't able to provide some of these other services we would have liked to, but we do plan on providing them hopefully starting next year.
So you guys at first kind of covered all bases, and like you said, because of COVID, we're unfortunately limited. So as of right now today, are you still, as things loosen up and restrictions aren't as tight, are y'all still able to offer car rides, or are you still in that monetary donation realm?
We're still in the monetary donation realm. We focus a lot on the toy drives. That has been really big for us, because what we do different with our toy drives is we do them in off season. We found that like the Wilson's Children's Center, the nurses, when we came out and arrived in early fall with 3 cars packed with toys, this was our toy drive, they were so excited because they didn't have any toys. They get a lot of them during the holidays, and everybody knows, you know, wants to give it the holidays, but then all those patients in the middle there ended up missing out, and we realized this was a good thing. And I think we also had a huge collection of toys from the community, because people at that time during the summer and late spring, early fall months, you're not getting bombarded with donate to this, donate to that, donate a little more for the holidays and stuff. So we had a huge turnout with the boxes that we had placed out at Publix at the Duval Station Center, ASAP Dental, George Moore Chevrolet, have allowed us to be able to have boxes, and the support has been just incredible. Our first year, we delivered 3 boxes to Wilson Children's Center. Our second year, we delivered 6 boxes to the Wilson Children's Center combined with Nemours.
That's cool.
So it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and that's been great. And then on the monetary side, we found, and I want to talk about this because I don't think people realize, we did the Adopt a Family through Nemours and some of the other places. We also supported Wilson Children's Center in Mayo at Christmas time. And it turns out that some of these places prefer to have gift cards because you get a family to sponsor is what happens. So when we reached out to them, they gave us a couple of families to sponsor. And they asked us to give them gift cards because not all the families, there's not enough sponsors to sponsor all the families. So gift cards were a discreet way of putting them into cards and handing them to a family and not having the other families aware that maybe someone was getting something that there just wasn't enough to go around. So we've kind of ramped up also trying to collect gift cards as well to grocery stores and Walmart. Those are our big ones to be able to support families. And our first Christmas, we were able to donate over $1,000 in gift cards to several families. So our goal this year is to hopefully double that as we're getting more and more known.
April, I think you made so many good points. First of all, come Christmas season, we're just as regular people, we're already bombarded with spending money on our own families, and sometimes we push these nonprofits to the side. But then also, people are always in need, whether that's in need of food during the summer, not just during Thanksgiving, but in need of gifts like that. So I really appreciate how you guys have spread it throughout. So when can we be expecting to see these toy boxes at the Publix's and at other events or even other like locations?
So we have toy boxes at all of our events, and I can give you a quick rundown of our events. But our main drive is between June and September. That's when we will have boxes out in several locations, public locations, where people can go by and drop off off a toy at those locations. And if you visit our website, the DCCA23.org, or our Facebook page, the Duval Car Club Cancer Awareness, you'll see we will put on there the locations of the boxes and when they'll be out and available. And we usually have those out from June to September for collection.
Okay, so definitely keep that on our radar. And one thing I was wondering, just after kind of looking at y'all's Facebook page and your website, you guys have a lot of photos of cars. So Gregory, where does the car club come in contact with everything?
With the car club, cars for cancer, came to my mind because my wife loved riding fast cars. So I purchased 2018 ZL1, and that was just part of, you know, how can I give back? And so I reached out to the community and like, okay, we can use this as a platform to deliver the toys or boxes, items like that, and we can also do some parades by family houses that cancer families that cannot get out and about, and just have another community where we can come together and talk and look at cars and trucks and bikes and just share stories and have a good time during an event, because I know that's something she would love for me to do for the community.
What was your wife's Dorothy's favorite car?
Well, the thing about she whatever car it was, it could have been a Honda, a Mercedes. It was gonna go fast.
Okay, so it doesn't matter what it looked like, as long as it went fast.
Yeah, it just made sure it was going fast.
And do you see her memory live on while you have these get-togethers and meetups with the car culture, just looking at cars and thinking, man, I bet Dorothy would have loved this.
Absolutely, and that's why we're driven to continue doing this. I know that she's loving this. Finally, you know, it didn't stop there. My legacy is still moving forward. So yes, I enjoy every moment of it.
So what do you do when you pull the car club together? What's that look like?
Well, so our get-togethers right now, we concentrate on our shows that we put together, and then we have some special events, like we did a trunk or treat last year where people came out with their cars, decorated their trunks, and then it gave the kids a safe place to be able to trick or treat. So that was a lot of fun. We did that at the PIA Bank Stadium. And then we did a show at BJ's on the north side here at the River City Marketplace, the BJ's Brew House. We had over 100 cars show up, we handed out trophies. We had our toy drive, and we got a lot of donations and a great turnout. We were very, very pleased. But we did do that in July and learned that it's very hot.
Yeah.
And we rethought that idea for this year, and we will be having our first show on April 17th down with the Southern Creative Spring Bazaar down at the St. Augustine Outlet from 11 to 3. You can pre-register cars for $10 or for $20 at the door. And that, again, will go and go along with the Southern Creative Spring Bazaar. So there'll be plenty of homemade vendors, food, music, and cars to look at. So a little for everybody. And then we've got our second show, which will be at the BJ's Brewhouse on Jacksonville North Side on June 5th from 10 to 3. So that'll be identical to our July one from last year. We'll be handing out trophies, and we'll be collecting toys and donations. So it's a free event for lookers, and for cars that want to register, it's $20 pre-registration, $25 at the door. And then we're in the process of doing a car show at Mission Barbecue down at the Town Center in September, but we haven't set any times on that. It looks like it may be September 18th, but again, you can visit our website and our Facebook page to get more information as it comes available.
And
then we are going to do the Halloween trunk or treat. So these are the events that we put together for the car show. That's when the cars get together.
Okay, so fun. And again, I have the privilege of chatting with Gregory in April with the Duval Club Car Cancer Awareness. And April, we got to hear Gregory's perspective and just his heart throughout this whole organization, and you shared a little bit, but I want to know why are you so heavily involved, and why is this so important to you?
Well, in the beginning, I didn't have the pleasure of knowing Dorothy. Mm. I actually moved in across the street late, about a few months after she passed away. But I myself I come from a family of car enthusiasts. So, and I have a background in different fundraising organizations, animal rescue, sitting on many boards. So Greg approached me and invited me into this, and I've been able to take my past history and involvement in organizations and my love of cars. I myself, again, am a cancer survivor. So it kind of hit on all different levels for me. So it was actually kind of a blessing that that I moved in across the street and would have never met.
Yeah, and it sounded like it was just perfect timing with your background history professionally, but then also personally.
Right.
It sounds like you guys do a lot of work sporadically throughout the community, which I think sometimes is overlooked via manpower. So are you guys in need of volunteers?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you can visit the website, and we have all the information there on how you can volunteer, the forms that they can fill out.
Absolutely.
And tell me that website again.
That's the DCCA23.org.
And other than through volunteer work and even monetary donations, what does it look like for your community to come alongside you, link arms, and support you?
Oh, it's been incredible. I mean, we've gotten so much support from sponsors such as, you know, Applebee's, Iceman, Panera, Allstate, mm-hmm. Jaguar Moving, George Moore Chevrolet, ASAP. I mean, it's just been incredible the amount of people who have jumped on and helped us out. And we're working with the National Pediatric Cancer Foundation, you know, with some of their upcoming events that'll be in the area once these COVID restrictions lift up. So, you know, it's been just an incredible outpouring of support.
How can just a regular person like me, who doesn't have a huge company or a big name, support you if I feel called?
You know what? We also have an Amazon Smiles account, and you can go into, if you're looking to, you know, support and you don't have time to volunteer, and we're ordering on Amazon all the time, we do have an Amazon Smiles account. You just look up, select the Duval Car Club for Cancer Awareness Foundation. And so when you shop on Amazon, we get some kickback from it.
That's such a good idea. And you mentioned it before, but what is the quote-unquote Adopt-A-Family group that you guys present?
So that is that's through Nemours. And basically they give us however many families. Like, we had two families last year, and they tell us, tell us what they want for Christmas, you know, gift card-wise, and we provide that. And then the Wilson Children's Center in Mayo, those we just donated toys to, and I think Mayo we donated some cash to, some gift cards or a check or something like that too. Yeah.
So truly adopting and then pouring into this family.
Absolutely.
One thing, Gregory, we know how DCCCA kind of got kick-started and how it continues to live on with Dorothy really at the foundation of it. But what are your hopes and your goals overall for this organization?
I do would like for it to grow outside of Jacksonville, and to reach other, states. And definitely like to get more people involved in in our movement, and awareness about the cancer patients, families, and animals. And I just see it that I see it growing. I just want it to grow and be a legacy, and just something I can pass on to my son as well to continue that legacy.
How old's your son?
He's 31.
Okay. And does he love cars and all things fast like his mom?
Oh my goodness. I have to keep in mind. I keep him out of my cars.
Okay, so this is,
we've all got one.
Yeah, and this is the perfect organization for him to take full reign on then.
Absolutely. He helps. He loves seeing, he does the website, and he's donated, and he's a very important piece of my life as well. So yeah. It'd be great for me to pass that along to him.
Well, April, you threw a couple dates out for us of the events coming up, but can you tell us again what we have to look forward to with Duval Club Car Cancer Awareness?
Absolutely. The March 27th will be at the annual Taste of Jacksonville at the Hall of Fame World Golf Village in St. Augustine from 1 to 6. There we will have a booth, so if people want to come by and meet and greet, get more information, or even drop off a toy or monetary donation, we will be at the annual Taste of Jacksonville on March 27th. And then April 17th, we will be having a car show along with the Southern Creative Spring Bazaar at the St. Augustine Outlets from 11 to 3. June 5th is our car show at the BJ's Brew House on the Jacksonville's North Side location, River City Marketplace. And September 18th was the Mission Barbecue, and that one is still in the works. I think the date is firm, times are not confirmed now. And then we are working on another holiday retreat in connection with the Jacksonville Business Connections. So that, again, you can visit our website, dcca23.org, or our Facebook page, the Duval Car Club Cancer Awareness, for the times and locations.
Yeah, so much to look forward to. And you just answered my last question. How can we find out more information? But just for the heck of it, tell us one more time your website and your Facebook page, April.
Absolutely. It's the website is dcca23.org. And our Facebook page is the Duval Car Club Cancer Awareness Incorporated.
Okay, well, April and Gregory, thank you so much for all that you're doing in our community. And I know Dorothy is just so excited and so proud to be a part of this. Overall, thank you all for being just such sweet neighbors in our neighborhood.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week, and if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at jacksonville.radio.